I'd forgotten.
I can't blame them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Johnson,
Mrs.
McLaughlin?
No.
Okay.
Emma?
Do you want to ask any questions?
Yes,
okay.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Mr. Luther.
Thank you. Yeah, just on the 142 creative post, in the handout, in the submission, you refer to also strengthening your capacity to deal with civil litigation. I was just wondering whether those posts would add to your civil litigation establishment, or you know where the expertise will go. Thanks.
One question.
So slow day today.
In your strategy, your mandated strategy, you're saying here, and you can explain what you're doing to launch bullets at your time. You're targeting the top 10. Top 10. I think the effect of this initiative is out there in the township, the ordinary people, also have problems. No matter the high profile problems. Which may be the success today is that you are really, you know, concentrating on high profile matters here, you know, commercial matters here, whereas there's other perception in the township about the scope that they're being let down again. Right? And to deal with those gangs, you know, in the township, the communities and their organization need to deal with these. I don't necessarily agree with that kind of approach to this tactic. And it is the case that these self-threats are important. I don't say if there are no bias for these drugs, there will be no challenge for the drugs. And then, not only go for the whole cigarette, but also for the bias, stop them from buying those bottles. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, can't be challenged. were victims of crime, as they say in your report. The policy of the SIU is that they fund organization for this. That is also your victim of crime. And then the last statement that you made was you would like to have a female caliphate with single line of jurisdiction. I don't know what you mean about that. I am aware, of course, that the responsibility for the DSO is not restricted to two ministries. That is justice and safety and security. You know, also the two components of prosecution and of the other one, crime, investigation, crime prevention. Yeah. Well, what do you mean by that statement? You see the law that just explain it so we can understand exactly what you're saying. Thank you. Yeah.
I know that you've made a statement with the trouble day thing, but I must just say to you that I am quite fed up with insinuations wherever I go, and of course obviously what you're saying to this institution, that somehow the DSO, well let me put it to you this way, it's never stated quite in this way relating to the DSO's case. It's more a question of certain people in high positions who are not prosecuted because they are who they are in the ANC and are untouchable. Now really, you know, I want to give you an opportunity here. As you know, we have never asked you to never speak frank with us and not to say with us. But if there has been anything brought to bear on yourself, investigators, this is the opportunity to lay it away in your view. So I really am criticized with insinuation. Because for me, it's not a question of me protecting the ANC. We are building institutions. And if there are insinuations that you didn't prosecute some hotshot in the ANC, what does it say about the DSO? What does it say about the integrity of this institution that is all tied so hard to go? So I really want you to you know, tell us, play open cards with us, tell us if there's any even slightest insinuation of pressure that you expect to go to be. And before you're all at liberty. Lastly, I do want to say that I think we must be careful. You know, this issue that Imam is raising with regard to the township, the gangs operating in the township, I think what is beginning to develop is this impression that the DSO is high-flying and is able to be manipulated into a certain way, as opposed to another way. And I think that there needs to be some kind of balance. I really would agree that not necessarily that you can suddenly turn the entire operation to take place. I think there has to be that. And I think you have done it in the past. It may not be as high profile as the others and so on. But we need to hear more of it. I think whenever these things happen, and particularly when it affects communities, communities that exist. I mean, that's when I would want to see the exchange. That's when I want to send us the force in this community so that we can, as politicians, also speak about these things in communities. Imam, for example, can call a meeting in his constituency office to report back on some issues so that people know. But these institutions are not there just, you know, to target high-profile people and so on. But they're there basically to make our lives better lives. That's the whole point. Everybody should feel that they benefit from a society that's in there. And this is a major issue. Particularly when it comes to things like drugs, we know how data is taken. And people need to know about it. And we'll help you. You send us that information. You want to make a change, put away some gang leaders and so on. Tell us about it. We'll go and we'll popularize it in our country. Because that's what we're here for. Please, so Felix, I got nervous when that door opened up. The camera is here.
Yeah, but I was really questioning about restaurants in the mock, and he can also add comments on some of the Western game-based things, and I'm sure the industry might have some of the answers. But he starts with the family. You know, Jefferson, I think what is necessary is for someone or a group of people to write a paper that could be used as a basis to engage our society at a broader level and within government, not our prosecuting authority, but an investigative body. If anyone thinks that either Mr. Piccoli or I are capable of telling this man not to do his work, then they're living in self-reliance. It doesn't work like that. I think particularly of the Sheikh prosecution, where I sometimes try to give direction from a boardroom. You can't do it. There are 500 people in this organization. That means you must influence all of them to do the wrong thing. I have put some of the best people in the Western Cape on that case. I have shown a personal interest in the case because of the sensitivity around the case. The allegations that certain members of the executive were implicated in this matter, to the extent that I interviewed some of them myself under Section 28 of the NPA Act. The National Director often says that I'm at times a bit too conservative. But I've applied my mind as a lawyer. I've been in this business for 20 years in looking at the evidence and deciding if to prosecute or not. We've worked through all the forensic records as diligently as we could. Parliament, although there were here and there initially a bit of a skirmish, in the end there was broad-based cooperation and assistance from all people in Parliament. To the extent that we receive statements which the head of the parliamentary body in Canada tells me, I met him in Italy last year, that this sort of thing would never happen in Europe. The fact that this case was discussed there, not the inside story of the case, but the features of the case and what is publicly known, this is in Italy. People said that maybe except in Germany and England, this sort of thing would be swept under the carpet. You know, and you look at the personalities and the composition of the team, you look at the work they put into it, you look at the money we invested in this case. The idea that we just decided, okay, we're not going to prosecute this deputy minister or that minister because someone has leaned upon us. The answer is no. No one has leaned upon me. No one has leaned on Mr. Piccoli. No one has leaned on both of us. Of course, your minister was down and asked for a briefing on the case, which he's perfectly entitled to do under Section 33. And I say to, you know, to those people who make these innuendos or allegations, if you have evidence that someone is being protected or there's incriminating evidence against someone, give it to us.
if you read the NPA Act, we are allowed to, perfectly allowed in some instances, expected to review the CD. So if there's incriminating evidence against someone, give it to us. But it doesn't help if you read about it in the newspaper and say, ah, well, so-and-so is infected, and people might have been left off the hook. I think the proof is in the pudding. This case will go to court, will be tried, I hope it will be tried, because there are all sorts of delaying tactics. And let the evidence emerge, and let the forensic order to come and testify. It's outsiders, nothing to do with us, we're saying them to the Westminster. They come and testify about these conclusions, these expert conclusions, and let the judge rule on them. But I want to assure the committee that we've dealt with this case as best we can. I just want to ask Mr. Mock to speak quickly about these matters.
Thank you, Madam President. Soon after my appointment, I made the point that all sorts of people are supposed to be in the because of the importance of the reduction in terms of the truth of the issue. That tells me you are aware of the truth of it. And this is one issue that I keep on emphasizing, not only to the people, but to all particulars within the issue. It's because this has to go to the fundamental. It tells our the moment you are seen to identify certain people or certain communities, then you just think I am on record as having said that should anybody tell you what to do in terms of the weapon, you can't do it. I once said that On this particular issue, Madam Chair, we did reach the magistrate in the committee of on the 13th of the council. We briefed about the and we didn't get any indication that, although of course there are some members of the committee who felt that there are certain people who are impressed. But in the I had an hour of speaking with the people. They gave me okay. So I want to respect that. The same thing when I was a chief. I was appointed on the 1st October 2005. You know, after taking office, the minister informed me that she had undertaken a great deal the previous year. Where there was a draft MOU between the NPA and the union. Which is needed to look at and I was surprised that on the day I was leaving the TV, I was sitting in the lab at the airport when I read in the Star that I was going to be cut with a good shape and the diploma and the president. So president also went to Chile at the time. And it was the Chilean authorities who had said that when we signed that MOU, those ones had to sign at the time when the president was going to Chile. And that was my business for going to Chile. Madam Chair, I was using my shoes off. Somebody said, you saw me in the desk with the person saying, talking in good body code. I was already in that question. So I'm saying it's little things that would gradually undermine the legitimacy of the. So I want to assure the committee that all members of the NCA, if they are such members, I will be treated in terms of the law. These are people who tend then to be influenced by any other thing other than not the work that we can spend consistently in our office.
I'd like to start with the first question regarding Red Cross. There's no particular significance. Sometimes investigators choose a name totally unrelated. But sometimes they choose names totally unrelated to the subject matter, so if someone hears about Red Cross, they have no idea what they're talking about. But upon inquiry, I found out that what the investigators actually intended was that they wanted persons who were involved in drug trafficking. One of the consequences of the actions, and when we take action against them, one of the consequences, using legal means, I must add, that they wanted people to feel the effect of our actions. And that's where Red Cross came about. But that's the analytical version. Imam, if I can deal with your question regarding the low-level offenses, I think at some point in the Western Cape we realized that we weren't complying with part of our mandate to do with organized crime. However, I must hasten to add that we have tried in the Western Cape to work as a cluster under the guidance of the local MEC, Samat Lakhani. So we have a cluster approach where we try and complement the work that we do. Having said that, our office is of the view that, not only our office, but McCarthy himself, but we are of the view that we have neglected a certain segment of the market, and we are going to be trying to address that gap. Obviously, the cooperation with our partners in the cluster to see how we can complement the work that others are already doing. So we note your point, and it's a work in progress, and hopefully when we come back again, we can report on some of the progress regarding the lower level offences. Madam Chair, finally dealing with your question regarding laziness, I'm going to be circumspect in what I'm saying, and I hope you will appreciate why. The matter has not been finalized in its entirety. As we speak, one, I can confirm there is an appeal pending. The defense has launched an application for leave to appeal, which has been granted. So we are going to go to Bloemfontein, to the Supreme Court of Appeal, on both conviction and sentence. But the judge dealing with the matter is still seized with the matter because we have launched a confiscation inquiry. And that is still pending before the judge dealing with the matter. So I want to be circumspect and be respectful of the bench at this point in time. Obviously, once the matter goes to Bloemfontein, and there's an appeal being launched against sentence, that court is open to deliberate on the matter and to arrive at a determination. We will obviously consider our position. We are, at the moment, busy preparing questions of law that we want this court to reserve, in particular, I think, to the tax offences as well as money laundering charges that we brought into court, courted them off. So we are in the process of finalizing those, which will send before this particular judge as well, Mr. Justice 8. And we will want the Supreme Court to entertain those questions of law as well. And once that determination is made, obviously the question of sentence may need to be reconsidered as well.
Thank you.
Just to add to what Mr. Smock said, if the question is, are there legal and operational grounds sufficient to justify the corpus to ask for an increase in sentence on appeal, and the answer is yes. Secondly, Mr. Johnson, the civil litigation will be accommodated under the 142 clause as well as the 158 that's been earmarked for head-on. You know, as far as the question of
single line of command concerned, as I said, I wouldn't want to preempt positions, and I said it with diligence and care. But maybe I can just explain 2 points. The DSO presently functions on the basis that operational decisions are taken under one line of command. I am saying it's a good model. It's worth it. The world is emulating this model. Let us protect that model in whatever decisions we take. As far as the high-flying cases are concerned, and whether we are manipulable, well, it takes a cue from the chairperson. It is important that one sometimes, stopping short of experience, look at those tactical benefit cases. Chairperson will remember that when the DSO started, we were very much involved with the Shakti's and Stanfields of this world and the Boysons. Let me just say that when the courts goes, when the courts go in recess in June and you come back, then I will send a note to the committee, and the committee will understand what's going on. We fund organizational victims. No, we seek compensation orders under Section 300 of the Criminal Procedure Act, and that money goes to the victims. Mr. Altman is biggest hero of victims in this country, because large money, through his brilliant negotiation skills, gone back to many victims in Paris. How did Mr. Kebble get away with it? I mean, you can read a long forensic report and wait for the trial, which I think is probably better, but just the point that I'd like to make, the one relates to the use of false brokerage notes, the second relates to how boardroom corruption can be constructed, and the third one relates to what I said earlier about the lack of due diligence in South Africa and in certain sectors of the corporate world. I think I've covered everything. And I just want to say something in conclusion. This organization is very strong. The people are tough, they're resilient, they're positive. We just had a workshop. Before that workshop, we had an audit of all the cases in the country nationally. We had what we call a dialogue session shortly before the conference. And at the conference itself, I was absolutely amazed by the vigor and the energy and the positive thinking that radiated at that meeting. And so sometimes we tend to think that people are affected. I think the organization is maturing to a point where people, if they read certain things, they say, okay, let me carry on with my work. And that's why I said what I said yesterday, that the Sheikh team is confident and strong. Thank you.
Very vested, very close, very personal interest. For our part, we will defend the institution to the best of our ability without saying that we are never going to criticize. We always try to challenge. We always try and show that whatever is done is done to the best of our ability. And sometimes that means going after bad guys. And our people need to know that that is beneficial. And my intention to say to you that over and above these things and things, that perhaps what we should do is try, and I know it's going to pass the problem out to our children on this program. And certainly with the human side. But there should be a way that we can interact more fully. So that as public representatives, we are able, with the information that you give to us, to answer some very, very simple questions, such as the one that you answered today about the travel negotiation. When colleagues of mine stand up in the house and suggest that the DSO is centralized and not prosecuting people because of their high profile. Members of this committee should be empowered to stand up and counteract that. If we don't have internet, we don't interact with you as much as we should, people simply won't feel as hard. And then it generates all kinds of suspicions and innuendos. So I do think that what we must do from both of our sides, and I'm committing myself at this stage to try and interact with you a lot more, even if it means in terms of written reports and so on, that I then distribute to members so that they know what is happening, particularly sensitive issues. That, of course, goes to the other institutions as well, the society, the attention, and so on. The door is always open for that kind of thing. Before you at any stage you feel that you should be coming back as an institution, talking up through some of these issues that you see in social media exposure and perhaps being able to set the records, that you'll find time to do. Because I think that the one thing that you did say about establishing the rule of law and understanding what that means for us in democracy is to this institution. There's one thing this committee is about, regardless of the rule of law, regardless of what it is, whether it's legislating or whether it's holding to account our institutions or whether it's indeed a basis. So that is my invitation to you, and that is my commitment to you, that notwithstanding the fact that this committee is literally every day, if you see our program, you'll know that we're sitting right up to you every single day. Not just you, but the steering for this sort of administration. No doubt they see you doing one of those reasons too. But even on that occasion, if you want to bring us information that you think we should be having at our disposal and so on, of course I don't want to hear about secret investigations that I shouldn't know about. And definitely don't bring Advocate Ackerman to me. But given that we have limited time, and given that we will make some space available during that time, and I think members here are sufficiently committed that if we need to collaborate, we will do so too. So I hope you will take advantage of that invitation as Mr. Foley and others. And from our side, let me take this opportunity to thank you for reading that were very comprehensive. A lot of information you gave us, and I know that I didn't ask for more information. And there's a reason for that. I don't have time to read everything that you've given me. But no doubt, a lot of what you told us will be raised again during the budget debate. And will be the subject of ongoing discussion in our study group. Thank you to all of you, and I would just wish you to be conveyed to all of your staff and your
I think I would also like to thank
thank you and for the quality of the tripod and you know, in the city that we are open to you. We welcome you. I'm saying welcome to you. What I'm saying before, you hold ourselves accountable to Paris in terms of the law and the constitution. This is where we account for activity. And this is where we expect that there will be a deeper interaction between ourselves and this conversation. Madam Sir, just a few things that we might want to take into account as we think of it with the conversation. First, I would like you to consider seriously the issue raised by Mr. William Mayer when he talked about the abuse of the democracy. It becomes very costly, lengthy, and it undermines the entire population. I know it's difficult, which requires a very changed strategy. But if you look at the baseline issues on one hand, and also look at the overall infrastructure, so that the security balance has to be And also, Madam Chair, the question of the salary for the citizens and personal individuals. I'm happy to note that you as the chair and other members of the committee have prepared to do this political opposition. Also, Madam Chair, that's on the progress also of the sexual offences bill. It's a matter of what some concern to us as the citizens. The challenge is certain issues coming up, the definition of age between men and men, and all those things. Those are becoming quite important for us, as well as the progress on the child subsidy, which is another of the right, as well. And also the small level of the community. As I think the share is much of the High Court Bill. I think what the because also one of the things that undermines our efforts and transformation is where the reference to the transplant of the charge division, to the trans guy for the charge division and so forth and so forth. The people on the ground don't see a change. You know, when we make a reference to all the things. But I know there are issues that are connected to the transplant. But if you have the interest, you can have those things.
You would recall about a year ago, I think, the applicant was and a lot of the time I say is around. A lot of it is pure rationalization. Unfortunately, it's not clouded and controlled in the same way. We are moving this year, so it would be the plenary meeting. And as I said, it's a fair report for the proposed government that we have. But certainly there is a process underway, a white paper is now being drafted, and hopefully will be published before the end of the year on these issues that have been mentioned. As I said, on the third issue of the I have no doubt that sexual offences, as you know, we prioritise that legislation as fast as in the community that we are already. Unfortunately, there is the issue that was raised about tagging on the community has finalised a position on the terrible legal opinion that
given to speak about the issue of we've been asked to put our views down on the table, which we have, and we've been told to report that there is a matter around trafficking here, that is a matter that was raised, of course, in the family of the trafficking, of course, without that legislation, we don't have a system that is sufficient crime. But it is something that I would want to discuss with the NGO, because they are more supposed to obviously elaborate on that. It's fine. But at the same time, we're working on, the Law Commission is working on the legalization of prostitution. Now, a lot of the evidence that we received in the committee seems to indicate that there's a direct link between trafficking and prostitution. I don't understand how people can do this. I've just received on my desk some invitations to attend the seminar. A lot of funds were given to NGOs to come up with a model for legal tech resources. I mean, I think this is a debate that the NGA must seriously engage through SOCA and others, because I'm a bit worried. I don't have a problem to take a policy decision and say that we legalize sex workers. Then we must understand what the implications are. Then don't come to this committee and talk to me about trafficking and the ills of trafficking, and taking this process to defeat the process. So we need to find a way to deal with this matter and debate this matter quite openly, and say what our views are, because you're the ones in the whole sector. When this thing happens and you find that there's evidence of prostitution, 9 times out of 10 there's a link to sex work and prostitution. Now, if nobody engages, because I can see that a whole lot of resources going into this debate in the NGO system, and I really, really want to urge that we don't leave it for the last minute for this. These discussions will start happening in the portfolio committee, and there's a goal there. So we start engaging and start talking about what is happening out there in real life, not in class cuckoo life. So that on the one hand, you know, legalize sex work and sex trade and so on, and on the other hand, you clamp down on trafficking of children. So I do think that there are models in the world. I know that we've got a very interesting submission from an ex-prostitute, by the way, on the Scandinavian countries and how they deal with these matters. And I really, really want to urge that prostitution authorities can look at a great deal of and as I said, it's an intensive stuff in the world side that stops that process. I can't remember what the other question is. Child justice is a difficult one. The past legislation, the problem is going to be implementation. You may already know that one of the biggest problems we have is the issue of legal justice. The social workers we have been in discussion with the minister to say that you see, justice doesn't have a problem, because as far as justice is concerned, it's impossible. The real problem is with the other departments, regional services and social welfare. And those departments won't have time for it. So one of the things that we've been doing is been looking very seriously at a phased implementation of it. And again, we have to be very sensitive, because even a phased implementation has certain implications. The last thing we want to do is start the legislation that is just really one for two of legislation in front of us. So we are in discussion, and by this I don't mean that we're not going to start it. We will start. The issue is more around implementation and what we're going to do to ensure that we can actually get a piece of legislation that practically make a difference. And it is a priority. It's just that we're not the only default of the problem. That's really I have been, like, let me not say what I have to do, but there has been some discussion for that. Is that the only message? Alright. I don't know who's accounting for who anymore. It's an interaction. Just call it an interaction. Of course, we have this other legislation in making of some data. The minister was before the committee, she started to give to ensure that that legislation has come out. I know that you guys have negotiations and you will find the detail of it. We haven't seen a drop of that ability. So as soon as it comes to us, we'll be able to bring a lot more context to the things that we did only have to do and so on. But of course we'll use the consultant and the education. Together with the other one. So that's on our side. Again, thank you very much. Thank you for this presentation. We will interact with some of those other issues. Mr. Hoffman's issues are sensitive to the different issues. Again, I'd to try and push from my side a political because I do think that I'm sure that other countries have had at the source of those other thank you very much, all of you, for spending the time here with us today. I hope you also are able to get home to your families today as well as tomorrow, and that we will hopefully be more inclusive to yourself, as I said, for your interest and so on. Let's see how that goes. Until next year, this time, we will be able to say that we have come. So, bon voyage, and members of the AMC, will you just stay behind for 5 minutes? Thank you very much. Okay, that's it. Just come.